Well, hey there, and welcome back to an episode of Corinth in Your Car, the first of the year 2024.
Happy New Year.
Year of our Lord, and I'm here with Josh. This is, of course, Luke, and Adam is out this week. May or may not be hitting some slopes or staying inside with some warm hot cocoa or something like that.
But you know what my favorite part of going skiing was, like the food portion, was coming to the lodge and eating chili out of a bread bowl.
Yeah.
The first time I'd ever had a bread bowl was at a ski lodge with chili in it. And man, after being out there so cold and you come in and eat, perfect meal.
So this is already, you know, we're 20 seconds into the podcast.
Talking about things we didn't plan on.
A food take is coming. And bread bowls, like, I don't really get them, man. Like,
I love them.
I like the chili.
Yeah.
And I like whatever's usually inside the bread bowl. I do like the...
you don't have to do dishes afterwards.
That's true. I do like the Mexican food version of this, which is like the bowl that is this massive...
Yeah, like a shell.
Tia chip shell type of thing. That I enjoy. But, man, a chili on a cold day, which we're going to need, I think, this week.
So, you know, the key... Yeah. So here's the key for bread bowls. I'll make my case.
Okay.
You go to Panera or someplace.
Yeah, the mac and cheese with the bread bowl.
They don't scoop out, and I get why, because if they scoop out a bunch, then they're giving you more soup and things like that, and it costs them more. But I get you if the bread is so much bread that you like hardly get any soup.
Yeah,
so
right.
Scoop it out more and put more soup in there, and that's
soup to bread ratio has got to be right.
It's got to be right.
Got to be right. It matters. Let's do a quick check-in, Josh. What's been a highlight from this last week? So we have had 11 days in January. I guess you could just go back to the last 11 days. What's been a highlight?
We went to Arizona and traveled back actually New Year's Eve, the day you preached here at Corinth. And so I guess I'll just count that as the beginning of the new year. It was a good trip. Our kids traveled well. No flight delays or anything like that. And it's been a good year. Lots of family time so far. So that's always a highlight for us.
That's good.
Just meals around the table and fun stuff.
Yeah. So, that's awesome.
I mean, I don't know anything specific, I guess. The kids, I mean, they started school pretty quickly. And so really it's been, I mean, since the 4th, I think, they've been back in. So they've been in for a week or more.
Yeah.
So we're already back to our normal kind of
rhythms
every day.
Such.
Yeah. So
that's
Christmas
good.
Was awesome.
That's nice. Glad to hear it. Yeah. I traveled
too.
Yeah. I traveled as well to the west, a little bit further north of Arizona, which is why it was so cold.
I know. Colorado, right?
Colorado. Yeah. Yeah. So my best friend from college, one of my best friends from college named Fox, got married. He's the last of us three
amigos.
Married. And so, it was a really, really great weekend. Tristan and I made a little bit of a longer trip out of it. So we left on January 3rd and came back on, I guess, the 8th, the Monday. It was a Wednesday to Monday. But but because we left on the 3rd, it really didn't feel like I started the new year until after we got back. Like the first day back after we got back, I was like, okay, I know this is like the 9th now, but now it's time to start the new year. But it was just, it was a really great trip. We did all sorts of fun stuff. Of course, the mountains are beautiful. It snowed really, really pretty and long snow on Thursday night. Mm-hmm. And that was really, really fun. But then on Monday morning, we had a flight out of Denver. Our flight was taking off at 8 o'clock. And from Colorado Springs to Denver normally is about an hour and 20, hour and a half. It took us 2.5, maybe a little bit more than 2.5 hours to get there because there was a bunch of wind that blew snow and ice all over the roads. And so we were driving like...
Are you in a rental car at this point?
My buddy Dusty was driving us to the airport in a rental car.
Okay.
And he was a trooper, man, all over ice. I think round trip for him, he said it was worse on the way back. So round trip for him was like a 5-hour trip just to put us... get us to the airport. So shout out to him.
Yeah.
I am grateful for my friend.
Chains on the tires or anything?
No. He grew up in the Midwest. He knew what he was doing. Yeah. I told him, I was like, I'm just glad it's you. I'm glad it's you and not me. Cause I wouldn't be comfortable. So anyways, it was a good week, out in Colorado. Beautiful. Tristan got to come along and have a lot of fun. We got to celebrate Fox. We did a bachelor day for him.
Oh, cool.
Which was a lot of fun. We started with, I'm my friends, Fox and Dusty are, I don't know how to describe it other than to use just the stereotypical terms. Like if you were to go about classic high school terms, I'm more of the jock of the friend group.
Sure.
They are nerds of the friend group. And so,
doesn't Dusty run?
Dusty does run.
Yeah. But that's something.
But give him anything with a ball and,
he's not coordinated.
He's not coordinated at all, but he's a great runner. But anyways, we started the day, there's a coffee shop in Colorado Springs called like Coffee and Dungeons. And it's basically a coffee shop that also doubles as this place where people come and play a bunch of like classic nerdy games like Dungeons and Dragons and Magic the Gathering. And so they had a little back room that we rented and we just went and played a bunch of board games, which was a lot of fun. And then after that, we went to a go-kart place called Overdrive, and we raced go-karts.
Yeah.
These things got up to 45 miles an hour.
Took that governor off,
and we did three races, and after the three races, we all felt concussed, like because we were like, because the track was just so curvy and twisty that we were just like jerking our heads back and forth, and then we ended the night with an escape room, and we got out.
Fun.
So that was nice. It was a good weekend. Congrats. Really, really good weekend. So another question for you, and that's obviously been from this last week. What are you looking forward to this week? So new week, what you looking forward to?
I am looking forward to our small group getting back together. That's going to be a highlight.
That's going to be good.
Circling up there. Also, our neighbors are just fun. And so we're going to get together with them a time or two this week. So looking forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. I'm looking forward, obviously, to a football game.
Yeah.
As you're listening, I am either a happy person or not a happy person as we are talking. Saturday is still to come. So Saturday night, Chiefs Dolphins, going to be a cold one.
Well,
for them, I'm going to be watching it from the warmth of my home.
I think it lends itself really well to the Chiefs.
I hope so. Yeah.
Well, because it's in Kansas City,
right?
The Dolphins don't win if it's cold.
Yeah,
that's just a fact. It's a statistical fact.
Yeah, that's right.
They have not won. I think Tua has not won if it is below 45 degrees, which is not that cold.
They also. this is a fun fact about the Dolphins heading into Saturday's game against the Chiefs. They, this season, have only beaten one team above 500.
I know.
The New England Patriots have beaten more teams above 500 than the Miami Dolphins. So it's interesting. It's playoffs, man. Anything
can happen. They trounced the Broncos and scored 70, and everyone got on alert. But the Broncos had a few good games.
Yeah. Who do your who do you expect the Niners to play coming out of the bye week? Because you guys are off this week.
Yeah. I do not see the Packers going into Dallas and winning, although that would be amazing.
That would be kind of fun.
That would be fun.
My mom would be sad, but...
I would be so happy if that happened. I think the Rams have a pretty good shot to beat the
Lions. That's kind of a cool storyline with Stafford coming back to Detroit.
It is, and... that would mean they're the lowest seed still remaining, so that would be a little NFC West rematch.
Sure, which, yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, you don't... Divisional opponents are tough.
Those aren't fun, especially the Rams are hot right now. They got all their... All the aspects of their game rolling really well, so that's not really the opponent you want to see.
Right.
I mean, I think the 49ers are still better if they are healthy and play all... You know, play like they should.
But right.
Anyway,
It'll
it's
be
just
fun.
Football, and it's fun, football. Though. It's fun. Yeah.
It's always fun.
It's always fun.
Even when the Texas Longhorns lose a heartbreaker in the semifinal of the college football playoffs.
That's right.
Saban retired. Did you see that?
I did see that.
That's crazy. Congratulations, Georgia fans.
I know.
I bet everybody's thrilled.
And in the no one at all cares about this, but in the NFC West, Pete Carroll got...
That was shocking to me.
Yeah.
And Mike Vrabel for the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah.
That was surprising to
me. So I thought it was funny. They said Pete Carroll, it was like the most nuanced way to say we fired him.
Right.
It's like we shifted his job to a consultant or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you fired him.
Which for him, that means, I was probably going to retire anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, he's
up there.
He's been coaching for a long time and he's very old.
Yeah.
Older than you think.
Does Russell Wilson return to Seattle?
Probably not.
Still New England.
Pete Carroll's still chewing that gum, though. I mean, like four pieces a game.
I wonder how many he goes through.
Wow,
that'd be crazy. All right, one more question before we jump in. It is the new year. Think through, of course, even just good question to ask alongside this series, I guess. Do you, Josh, have any specific goals or resolutions or words or any other stereotypical things that people do at the beginning of a new year?
Yeah, I've noticed lately with myself, I want to be, this word present just keeps coming up. I want to be present with my kids. I want to be present if I'm talking to a person. I want to be present when I'm in devotion, like journaling scriptures or things. And I mean, it sounds really cliche that you can be so distracted or things like that, but it really is. It's more of a struggle than ever this year with everything that can distract us. So I think that word just keeps rising to the top. I want to be a good listener.
Sure.
You know, Naya is 10, which means 8 more years, and she's quote unquote gone, you know, which is kind of scary. Not scary, but just wild. It's weird, you know?
Right.
So, yeah. How about you? New Year.
Yeah. I don't know. So New Year's weekend, National Youth Ministry Preaching Day. I talked about the power of reflection. When December 1 kind of rolled around, I started to begin reading a lot and thinking a lot, just prepping for that message. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that I noticed just were like, I want to kind of fine tune my rhythms.
Mm-hmm.
I've got rhythms in place and I think they're good ones. But I kind of want to be a little bit more specific and fine tune them so that they are consistently getting me to where I want to go, which is a little bit of this conversation that we're going to end up having, with the whole habit series. But that's just been something I've been thinking through really since I started thinking about the power of reflection and how am I going to fine tune the rhythms for the year 2024, to get me to where I want to go and be a little bit more consistent with them and, be a little bit more creative and fun with them too. Like, you know, one of the things that Adam said in this message, from Habits Part 2 was just that you already have systems in place.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, it was like, in December, what I did was like, I was kind of taking in a little bit of inventory of like, what systems do I have in place and what's already good that I can go ahead and like focus in on and hone in on. It's like, okay, well, as far as like recreational goes, I know I love playing disc golf. And so like, we're going to go ahead and make disc golf like once a week, a regular thing for me. And I know that, you know, I want to experience a relationship every single day. And so like, who am I going to be connecting with on a regular basis? And just like different things like that. So fine tuning rhythms, I think, is going to be a focus for me coming into this new year. And
Cool.
So excited about that. We're working through a series right now called Habits. Good one for the beginning of a new year. Small disciplines, big results. Of course, this is our first one of the year, so we didn't record a podcast over last week's message in part one. So before we do jump to part two, let's just kind of briefly talk about that one, because I think what was said in part one kind of lays the foundation for the conversation in part two. So basically, here's what Adam said, Cliff Notes version. Habits matter. Great phrase. Successful people do consistently what others do occasionally. But we generally fail with habits. What was the day that he said was a national like resolution fail day or something like that?
The 17th.
So as people are listening, that is
2 days,
two days from now. So stay strong, get at least to the 18th. But the observation he's making is that we generally fail with habits, and he laid out three reasons why. We focus on the outcome and ignore the progress. We want results now, and we don't know who we really are. And I especially think that last one is key, and so did Adam, which is why he ended up with the bottom line, the do overflows from the who. It's also why he said, you've got to answer the question, who do you want to become? So Josh, let's kind of talk through real quickly just this first part a little bit before jumping into week two. Why are some of these things so key whenever we're having the conversation of habits?
Obviously that we want results now. That's a product of our culture. It's just, we're so instant gratification, and we got to watch out for that. We focus on the outcome and ignore the process or the progress. Both of those really could be true. You know, that comes from comparison.
Yeah.
But it really, you're right, and Adam's right. The who is so important. I really think that influences both those other ones. Like,
yeah,
if we know who we are, we know it's going to be a process, and we will focus more on the direction we're going rather than exactly where we are. And especially from a Christian perspective, this is a church and this is a sermon. It's not just like self-help. This message series, I think, is going to, it's going to help anybody because there's just principles that it will help you with self-improvement, you know?
Right,
but from a Christian perspective, and if we believe that God created us for a purpose, like Ephesians 2:10 says, he's created us on purpose in Christ Jesus for good works.
Yep.
And we remember that identity. That's really where it all starts. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, if we have our identity set, that's how we can refocus on the results and maybe changing what results we want, and what a true success actually is.
Right.
You know, and that's the key. So,
yeah. And I think that's key as well. Just changing what we call success.
Yeah.
Because really the goal of habits is to become who we want to be so that we can know Jesus better.
Yeah. And so even
it's not necessarily to just, I want to do these things because I know it's the right thing to do, or I want to do these things because the person that I really respect does these things, or I want to do these things because it makes me feel good to accomplish these things. It's like, no. Yeah. Success is taking small steps to eventually become the person that you want to be so that you know Jesus better.
Yeah. So here's an illustration. I'm in a covenant group, and this guy in it, one of my buddies, he talked about this a little bit, and he's added some rhythms to his life and some daily prayers and things like that. But he last meeting we were together, he was just sharing how those can sometimes become, if we let them, they're like misplaced goals. And he realized, like, I had added so many things to my daily rhythm that I wasn't really, you know, intimate, like,
right,
like with the Lord. It was just, I was checking these things off. And so he's like, I've just refocused. And instead of trying to check off all these 17 things every time, like, I'm going to focus on these two prayers every single day.
Sure.
And then these two prayers the next day. And
yeah.
And so I think that's a good word too, that sometimes in our habits, to define what success is, like if you're talking about spiritual disciplines, the end goal is not to check off the Bible reading.
Correct.
Obviously. I mean, that sounds super simple, but it's a good reminder we all need, I think, that the checkbox is not the goal. It's the Lord. And so,
right.
To balance that with adding things to our to-do list, with remembering what the real success is. Mm-hmm. And that starts with who, like,
right.
You know?
Yeah. And it also ends with who as well, because every decision that you make and every habit that is automated in your life actually creates you to be a different person in the end. And so if your habits are unchecked, and because they're unchecked, maybe a little bit negative, you are eventually going to become someone that you really didn't want to be or get to places that you really didn't want to go. But you take the time, like we're suggesting here at the beginning of the year, just to do some habit inventory to think about who is it that you really want to be. And what small decisions and what small things can I do that are eventually going to impact those things later down the road? So really, really cool stuff. I think we're now ready for part number two. But again, just picking up on that crucial point, and Adam does pick it up again as well in part two. It's just like you can't – it would be unhelpful to think through and start new habits without first doing the hard work of figuring out who it is that you want to become.
Yeah.
Disclaimer before anything else, stop right there and just kind of try to do some inventory and think, who is it that I want to become in the future? Part two, habits can change your life, Adam says, and we agree. So you've got to start the right ones. He would eventually talk through how to start a new habit. So Josh, we'll just ask the age old popular Corinth in your car question. As you are looking to what's going to be shared on Sunday, as the audience heard yesterday, what are some things that stood out to you?
I love that story of Daniel. You know, Daniel in the lion's den. We often think he's like this young man or something, but really that's, he's an old guy in that portion of the story. And so I think thinking through Daniel, you know, we often think people are like overnight success stories. Mm-hmm. And Daniel is a perfect example of not that.
Sure.
He's
right.
Not an overnight success story. He was like in his 80s probably when he's thrown into this den. And it's like he's successful because he has been rhythmically, habitually on his knees in prayer.
Right.
And that's huge to me. So, I mean, that's one thing that sticks out for sure.
Yeah.
How about you?
I love that. I think I highlighted it just for a second, but I loved just what Adam said about the fact that we already have systems, right? So like, you may think, well, I don't really have habits. Well, yes, you do, because your habits are just what you do. Yeah. And I think he shared a stat somewhere. I'm trying to find it on his.
It's 40%. Yeah,
40%.
Duke did that research, and that's in, I believe it's in the Charles Duhigg Power of Habit.
Okay.
Power of Routine. I can't remember the title exactly right now.
So I'm trying to find what I said. So I said, okay, here we go. If over 40% of our daily actions are not the result of decision making but habits, here's kind of what I commented to him. I said, if we are living as if we have no control over our habits but have just let them be, then that's a pretty scary stat to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Because the question we end up having to ask is, what 40% of my life is just on autopilot?
Yeah, and part of, I think, what we haven't necessarily talked through specifically in this series, we have before with like winning the war in your mind.
Sure,
and
right.
So there's some physical habits we have, like where we go, what we do, what we put into our body, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a whole other realm. It's our brain habits and our mental thoughts that we allow. And once again, this isn't just like positive affirmations. I mean, culture is big on that word right now, affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just you thinking positively about yourself. It's listening to the positive things God says about you.
Yeah.
So that's another just big arena of our habits is our thought life.
Right. Yeah. You got to train your brain to think.
That's right.
So it's all good stuff. You mentioned that you love the story of Daniel. Let's get to that. The story of Daniel is where Adam headed for today's sermon. And it's really, as you've mentioned, it is kind of towards the end of his life that we get the story of Daniel and the lion's den and the rhythmic prayer and all that sort of stuff. But it is not the first time we see some incredible stuff from him.
No.
Really, the story of Daniel, like, I mean, he might be one of the very few characters of the Bible where you could read his whole story and you'd be like, oh. There may not have been anything wrong based on what we know as far as what was shared in the narration of him. Just really great character with the story of not eating the meat, but going with the vegetables instead and earning favor and seeing success, rhythmic prayer, Daniel and the lion's den, super, super great stuff. So he has this habit of prayer three times a day, and that grounds him in his faith. So talk to me a little bit about Daniel and his story and his habits a little bit more, and just what sticks out to you about him.
One thing that stuck out, and I left this as a comment for Adam too, is just in the application, we'll get to it, how it talks about do this in community. Like, you know, you shouldn't start new habits just all by yourself. And Daniel's an example of that. Early in the story, he's with, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which I know is
Ananiah,
a pet peeve of yours, right?
And Azariah. It is a pet peeve because that's their Babylonian names.
It is. And so I remember last summer I preached through this, and a key point was in that sermon was just you got to remember your name because all those names were connected to what God had done in their life and all the Babylonian names that we know them by, you know, Rak, Shak, and Benny, if you watch VeggieTales.
Yeah, yeah.
All those names are put there on purpose by Nebuchadnezzar. He changed their names to mean something Babylonian.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, we're a little off topic now with those names, but maybe not so much because we're remembering our name and our identity.
Yeah, right.
The point is Daniel, he wasn't on an island. He had community and he had practiced that. And that's part of what led to his success. And I love that his faith, led him to be politically successful,
Sure.
But that's not where he defined his success, obviously.
Right.
Because he was willing to risk his life at least twice that we know of.
Mm-hmm.
And his success was, I'm going to be faithful to God. So,
yeah. Right.
Anyway, what else?
And faithful to God and rhythmically solid, quite honestly, in the midst of an environment he wouldn't have preferred.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. If you think about, he's a Jew in Babylon.
Yeah, that's so like hundreds of miles away from home.
Right, as an exile, and he becomes fortunate as an exile because he was selected to be a part of this group, and eventually, because of his great character, gains all the success. But still, even as this successful man, has got to be longing for the return home and the restoration of Israel and delivering from captivity and
all
that sort of stuff.
Yeah, and now that you kind of bring that part up, I remember as well from the sermon last summer just coming out, I believe Daniel was familiar with Jeremiah's prophecy.
Yeah.
So Jeremiah 29, which so many people quote about, I know the plans for you, declares the Lord, for hope and for a future. That was about Israel in the, I forget how to count centuries, the 6th century BC, whenever they're there.
Right.
And 70 years, they're going to come back. And I believe Daniel had read that prophecy, and he's trying to reckon the numbers. And he's praying 3 times a day, just pleading with God, can it be now that we return? Can it be now that we return? So having a big goal and having a big hairy, audacious prayer, as we said before, too, just can help you ground your identity and your habits, because if you don't have a goal where your life is headed,
mm-hmm.
then you're just going to, of course, you're going to say yes to things that you shouldn't, and you're just going to go aimlessly. But if you have something that so focuses your mind, you will easily say yes to the right things and no to the right things. And I think Daniel had that.
Yeah, he had that. And that is what Adam is pointing out, mm-hmm. is what allowed him to be in the lion's den and be okay, right? Like, how do you get to the point to where you've got the faith to stare down lions?
Yeah.
It's the small habits every day with the eventual big results. And so love the story of Daniel. We're actually going to hit Daniel and his pals for Winter Blast.
Against the grain. That's a great grain. Good example of against the grain.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just, this is what the crowd is doing with the meat. We're going to do something different to honor God. And
so is the menu for Winter Blast only vegetables?
Only vegetables.
Vegetables and water.
That would be fun. I don't know that I could get away with that one, though.
That would be funny to put somehow change all the Dr. Pepper cans to water. And so they crack open the Dr. Pepper and it's just water.
Water. What would there be no sizzle?
I know. Well, you could carbonate it.
It's fine. Carbonate the water. Yeah, there you go. So we got the story of Daniel. Which leads into the question of the day for habits, and it is based upon who you want to become, which is from last week, what's one habit that you need to start? And we shared a little bit, I guess, at the beginning with the New Year stuff, but if you're beginning to think just about yourself, what might be a habit that you're wanting to start new or start back up that you've done before or something like that?
So you're asking me again?
Yeah, I'm asking. Yeah. I'm asking you. I'll go to you.
No, so I'll stick with the word present.
Sure.
And I think one thing for me, I've done this before, kind of gotten out of the habit. And so I want to reinvigorate this habit of just, kind of a take two, like a 120-second, 2 minute, just time to breathe and some silence.
Yeah.
I know Pete Scazzaro.
Yep.
And his
emotionally
healthy stuff has like a 40-day devotional, and before and after every little, it's like only 5-minute devotional, but at the beginning and the end of it, he just has, hey, 2 minutes of silence and stillness before God. And that's huge. That's a real life thing I'm going to start.
Love that. That's very specific and practical. I think so for me, I shared this a couple of weeks ago when I was, preaching on the power of reflection, just this who you want to become as the starting point is really key for me, because you turned me on at one point to the Titan 5 planner.
Yeah, just and the backwards planning.
I think since then we have stopped using the actual Titan 5 planner, but have like used a lot of the principles that are in it.
Exactly.
And so the Titan 5 for life is just like, what are the 5 things you want to be true about your life by the end of it?
I listened to your summary. Yeah, you shared those.
I actually, I have 6 now.
Yeah.
And it's not because I'm trying to show anybody up. It's just because this is kind of hits the areas of my life. It's like, I want to, the most important thing to me is I want to know Jesus intimately by the end of my life. And after that, I want to cherish my wife. Mm-hmm. I want to serve others. I want to share faith. I want to enjoy life. That was the sixth one I added. That, right? Yeah. Like, I just want to enjoy life. And that's like just the fact that God has given us the gift of creation and the gift of community and the gift of our bodies and all this sort of stuff. And it's like, I want to actually enjoy that. And so,
Really, you can make a case that says that's really overarching in all of those. For you to truly enjoy life, you're going to be, you're going to be with your Savior. You're going to be cherishing your wife and family and, all that sort of stuff. That's serving even, you're happier when you serve.
Absolutely.
So anyway, so that's great.
Yeah. So just like one of the habits specifically that I want to get into, and Tristan and I have done this before, but this would fall under the cherish the wife part, is the blessing conversation. I feel like we do that when we feel like we need to.
Instead of making it a weekly or
monthly rhythm of some sort where it's like, hey, we do a date night every Friday night when we're at our best. And so what if we took, like two of those four date nights and we said before we even get our meal, because, we go out, takes a minute for him to bring it out before we get our meal. Let's hit that real quick. And so that's something that I want to try to do better at. Tristan listens to the podcast, so she'll hear me talk about it. So next date night, babe, we'll hit the blessing conversation. So audience, maybe you've got some ideas in your mind on some habits that you would like to start based upon who you want to become. And maybe you're stuck at how. And Adam went there and helped us out with that as well. And so kind of ending the sermon with some really, really practical. I think this is the most practical we've been in a long time. Really, really helpful stuff. How to start a new habit. There are three things. And he said, the first thing you need to do is make it obvious. If you want to change what you do, you need to change your cues. Yeah. And of course, that comes from...
It rhymes.
It rhymes. And it comes from this whole idea of what's something... Like what you do automatically happens as a trigger. Mm-hmm. And so what can you basically train your brain to be triggered by to start doing? So give me some examples of what this might look like, Josh, how you can make it obvious as you're starting a new habit.
Yeah. So, I mean, one thing I heard years ago, and when I'm at my best, I do this, is actually moms train their kids to do this. Just put your clothes out for the next day.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that researchers know is mental energy is not like it expires. And so if you can make some decisions the day before, then you don't have to use your mental energy for silly things like what am I going to wear today? So, so you can mentally cue yourself by just laying out your clothes. If you want to exercise, wear out or lay out exercise clothes.
Right.
Other cues I've heard before is putting a Bible by the coffee pot.
Uh-huh.
Because whenever you wake up, you're able to see, like, you're going to go get the coffee. Right. So you do that. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
What are some,
I think you're picking up on some stuff. Cause I literally, in Adam's, manuscript, wrote a comment back to him about this very thing and said, this is huge. I set out everything I want easy access to in the morning, the night before.
Oh, nice.
So huge help to have the clothes by the dresser already ready to go instead of delaying by making a decision, right? Yeah. So like the night before, laying out what I'm going to wear and knowing, oh, it's a CLC day, so I can't wear a hat, so I'm going to have to do my hair in the morning.
Yeah.
It's not a CLC day, which of course is not today because you're staring across the table at me and
San
I am
Antonio
wearing
Spurs
a hat, right?
Hat,
so we won last night, by the way. Sixth win of the season.
There you go.
We beat the Pistons, who are the only team with the worst record than
us.
Oh,
man.
So... anyways, Wembanyama is still just incredible. But anyways, I think it is some of that stuff. It's make the cue obvious. And I don't know what kind of habits you guys are wanting to start, but you just got to think through how can I put it in front of me so that I see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you see it, take that next step of engaging with it.
Silly things like post-it notes and stuff also, like we use those for just practical reminders. Like the other day, Naya had to remember a couple homework type things. So she just wrote it on a fox-shaped post-it note, and we were able to do that homework that night. And so something like that. But if you're a parent trying to spend some intentional time with your kids, like write a post-it note so they'll see it, and then or so you'll see it, and then you do it. All kinds of stuff.
Yeah, I think one of the cool things about this too. I don't thinking about just this first one. I don't know if you could run it through the other two or not. We'll see when we get there. But just thinking about the opposite as well. So if you want to start a habit, you've got to make the cue obvious. I would even say if you want to break a habit, you've got to make the cue not obvious, right? So thinking about, you know, maybe you've gotten into the habit of every time you pull out your phone to check a message or something like that, you put your phone down 45 minutes later after scrolling, right? And it's like, how did this get there? All I was doing was reading one text message and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Well, make the cue not obvious and remove it from your phone, you know,
Turn notifications off,
right?
Your phone to grayscale.
Exactly.
And
so
or you
just,
could even, I remember years ago, one time I did P90X, one time.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
There you go.
It was over a decade ago, but I still remember Tony Horton and he goes, get the donuts out of the house.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
It's like, so if you want to, I mean, we still have Christmas goodies around. We just need to throw them away.
Yeah.
Cause I find myself, snacking a little bit too much on pecan pie or whatever it may be.
Last night, it was about 9:30. Christian and I were going to watch one more episode of the show we're going through before bed. And
Bluey?
No, not Bluey. Cheers. Cheers, the old show.
Yeah, Cheers.
And but I was like, I had dinner and I was craving something sweet and we've got all this Christmas stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I went in there and I was like, how many calories would it be if I had two little Kit Kats? I was like, okay, I think I'm good. And so I had ended up eating two of those Kit Kats, and then I went back for another one. And then I had a glass of almond milk to throw it all down, you know, all that sort of stuff. And it's like, oh, man, like, just get rid of it because you don't need those three Kit Kats were like 125 calories.
Isn't it so stupid?
Yeah.
Which little,
I know. It so it's nuts, which I get. Even in weight loss mode, I still get like 2,400 calories a day because I'm such a big dude. But still, those 2,400 calories go quick when you eat like I do.
Yeah.
Second thing, how to start a habit. After you make the cue obvious, you just make it as easy as you can. As easy as you can. So, Josh, talk to us a little bit about what this could look like.
Yeah. So, Groeschel, in his book, The Power to Change, I think this might come from that. Just making the habit easy. Meaning something specific, I guess, would be, I want to read my Bible. So don't make the habit, well, I want to read the entire Bible in the next 3 months.
Right.
It's like, start with, you know, back in the day, I remember hearing set a SMART goal, like specific, measurable, attainable. That's a key thing, is attainable. And then time oriented and things like that too. But anyway, just make it easy. So if your goal is you want to read the Bible, like, start with a chapter a day or set a time on it or something like that to where it's easy and it's not like putting undue pressure on yourself to read, you know, for an hour a day.
I think one of the reasons that we struggle with this is because of what Adam talked about in part one, and it's that we want results now, right? So, you know, January 1st rolls around and we're like, I want to be the person that, you know, spends an hour with God every morning. But the whole month of December, you spent no time with God every morning. You're not going to get there. Like, that's not attainable at that moment. So you've got to start a lot smaller and make it easier for yourself. And from that, eventually the small habits will create big results.
Yeah. And it sort of goes back to last week as well. Make the progress or the process, both of those things, make those the goal instead of the end result. And, so one specific conversation I had with somebody in the lobby Sunday was just about, you know, exercise, working out, things like that, and just how it was interesting. Both of us came at it from really the same perspective, but just different, because I'm a smaller guy, smaller frame, and he's a bigger guy, and just how we have to change our expectations. Like, I have the frame I have, so I am not going to walk into the gym and ever be this huge bodybuilder guy. I don't want to be that anyway, but I'm never going to, like, I don't have the even capability because of the frame I have. And he's like, yeah, and I have the frame I have, so I'm never going to have, you know, this waistline or whatever.
The runner's body of some sort.
Like, he's like, I'm a lineman. And I was like, I'm not a lineman. Like, put me on a line, I'll be dead. you know? And so I think there's just some of that too. Give yourself some grace, make it easy, be realistic, you know, with your, with yourself.
Well, and, even if you just think about your, we'll go specifically to the gym and then I'll start to apply it elsewhere. If you don't make it easy to start, you actually end up harming yourself, right?
Like yourself.
You're like, okay, I haven't bench pressed in 10 years, but I'm going to go ahead and bench press and I'm going to start with 250 because that's what I could do in high school or whatever.
Yeah.
And you start with 250 and, oh, I just tore my pecs and now you're injured.
Yep.
And guess what? The habit that you tried to start that day, you have to delay until you're healed.
Yeah.
And at that point, you might not have the motivation to do it again. Well, same thing for everything else. Like, right? I want to read, you know, 10 chapters of the Bible a day, but you weren't doing anything before.
Yeah.
So then one day that you miss 10 chapters, it's like, oh man, you know, all that sort of stuff. So you're
in the sermon, Adam talked about, you know, you want to read. So just say, I'm going to read a page a day. I'm going to read a page. And then I have read, you know? And so you obviously work up eventually, but, don't start out too strong, I think is really the key of what we're getting at with make it
easy. Yeah. And, I loved also just the make it easy. He added the habit stacking. So the kind of the equation, if you will, I will do blank after I blank. And you actually see that with Daniel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Adam mentions it is after I eat, I will pray. Breakfast, after, boom, that's the cue.
Mm-hmm.
I'm making it easy. That's what I'm going to go do. Lunch, boom, that's the cue. Dinner, that's the cue. I'm going to go do that. And
so there was
we got to think through that just as we're trying to go about things.
Yeah, lots of practical stuff in there. Once again, making it easy, like say you want to pray with your spouse, like don't say I want to pray for 20 minutes with my spouse. It's like, hey, 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
All we're going to say is one thing we're grateful for. Cool. You've done it.
Right.
So keep it up.
Yep. Absolutely. Good stuff. So I will do after I blank, make it easy. And then the third one, and all of it's really important, but this one's huge as well. And you mentioned it as a part of Daniel's story too. It's make it communal. You very rarely are able to accomplish anything worthwhile on your own.
Uh-huh.
And so it's true for our habits too. Even if they're personal habits, right? Like it is important to make it communal. Adam said, living the right life is almost impossible if you have the wrong friends. And that was a quote from Groeschel. So let's talk through some examples of what this might look like and how it will help us in our habits.
Yeah, I mean, it's what did you say? Your grandma probably said it up above somewhere, like you become like who you run with.
Yeah. Show me your friends. I'll show you your future.
Yeah. Yeah. Just all over the place. We make our worst mistakes when we're trying to impress somebody or when we're just surrounded with the wrong folks. I remember I had a friend in middle school. And he wanted so badly to be liked that he ended up using money. His family was very wealthy. And so he ended up just using money to buy things to try to impress people or even try to like earn friends. And he would buy. I remember one time we went out to the mall and it was so weird because he like bought me a bunch of stuff. I was like, what is going on? And he was trying to impress people the wrong ways,
essentially,
just trying to buy all this stuff. And I say that about him, but I've been there too, where some of the worst things I've said or done has been, I've been trying to be funny and it wasn't funny. You know, I said something and it was just plain mean.
Yep.
And that was because I was trying to impress the wrong people. So, anyway.
So you got to get the right people around.
Get the right people around. Yep. Ask you the right questions.
Correct. Yeah. And I mean, that's things we've talked about before. That's like, who's in your inner circle, who is mentoring you, you know, all that sort of stuff, and invite them into these conversations about what you're thinking. Like, you know, like you're thinking about who is it that I want to become? And maybe you've got something in your head and maybe you've taken the next step and you've put it down on paper. Well, I would say the next step is to tell a few people, you know, hey, I'm really excited about, you know, what the Lord's revealed to me. And I just think that these are some of the things that I want to pursue as who I want to become, and sharing that with people and saying, and so I'm going to start to think through some of the habits and rhythms that I can add to help me get there. And, hey, one of them is actually just, I want to enjoy life, and part of enjoying life is connecting with people. And so can we do coffee once a week?
Yeah.
Can I play disc golf with you, you know, once a week? You know, just stuff like that. Just thinking about how we can begin to make it communal.
There's, I guess, two more quick thoughts I'd add on that. Super quick. The Bible app, if you don't know it, does have Bible reading plans, and you can choose to do those with people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that you see their progress as well when they check it off. And then they can put comments on that. So that's kind of a cool thing. But I've noticed in my life too, it's not just inviting the right people in my life to ask me the right questions. It's inviting people into my circle that I can sort of lead as well.
Right.
And that puts the right kind of pressure on you to be the right person you need to be. So you're leading those well.
Yeah.
You know,
I've heard it said before, and it's an obvious statement, but it's just like, you can't lead people where you've not been before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And truthfully, if you've not been there, I don't trust following you, you know? And so that's why I think we were talking about this before we hit record, maybe it was after, but the Colorado driving on the ice.
Oh yeah.
And we were having to drive on some ice. I wasn't the one that did it.
right.
My friend who grew up in the Midwest and learned to drive on the ice was the one that did it. And it's like, he's been here before. Yeah. So I'm going to trust him as a leader. And so you put yourself in that position. You've got some influence over some people. It's like, okay, there's some added weight to, I want to make sure I'm getting things right because I want to lead people well.
Yep. Yep.
So love it. Bottom line ends up being, we think this could have eventually changed. But as it stands right now, the bottom line coming at you this Sunday is, don't underestimate how God can do something big through a small habit. You see that with Daniel's story, of course. And hopefully we'll begin to see it with our stories as well, as we think through these new habits we want to start. And that's the challenge, is based on who you want to become, what's one habit you need to start? So spend some time thinking through that. Any last words, comments, questions, thoughts?
Man, no. Thanks for listening, and Happy New Year, everybody.
Yes.
Glad we're back, and glad you're back with us.
It is nice to be back. Speaking of New Year, let's talk about Old Year. Old year of 2023.
So this is New Year's true or false?
This is New Year's true or false. So I'm going to read a claim or an article, and you have to tell me whether it did or did not take place in 2023. So is this true or is this false? Okay.
Okay.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite one.
We're starting with the best.
We're starting with the best one. A group of Australian scientists swallowed several nickels to see how long it would take to poop them out.
Everything's on limits and when it's down under, right?
Right,
so,
yeah.
Sure, I'll say yes.
You'll say yes. Okay, so I'll give you half credit. The answer is false, but the experiment is true because each of them swallowed the head of a Lego character a brick character, because they call them bricks over there. So they each swallowed the head of a brick character, and according to, this is where it gets hilarious, according to their found and retrieved time, which is hilarious acronym for you put it together, found and retrieved time, score, it took about 1.71 days.
Huh.
1.71 days for the average between all of the scientists for the head of the Lego character to come out.
So,
and maybe you're a parent and knew that.
I was going to say, well, if you are a parent, you know that if your child swallows a Lego, you don't have to start looking the first day.
wait a little bit. Yeah,
it's
not going to be the first one. It might be the second or third one that it comes. Now, with a nickel, we don't know.
Yeah,
because it could be different.
Wow.
But that is interesting to me. That happened in the year 2023 in Australia.
Wow.
So scientists are
ready
up.
Way to go, Australia.
Scientists are up to some crazy stuff. All right, next one. The Pope received a fiery praise of compliments while out and about in a white puffer jacket. I can't say the word jacket. A white puffer jacket.
False.
It is false.
Yeah. There's no way the Pope wore a puffer jacket.
No, but there was a viral image of a dope Pope in a coat. But it was fake and it was AI generated.
Yeah,
so
there's no way.
If you've seen that photo, it's actually pretty funny. Okay, next one. The world record for most individual world swim titles was shattered. True or false?
Most individual world swim titles? Mm-hmm. What does that even mean?
I don't know.
It was shattered?
Shattered.
Sure. We're breaking world records all the time.
World records. True. Okay, it's true. Yes. So, swimmer broke the record at the 2023 World Championships, became the first swimmer ever to win 6 world titles in the same event. 6 world titles. So this is an Olympics, because Michael Phelps would have, I guess, done that. But just speaking right. World Championships.
Is it a male or female?
It was a female. Yep.
Female.
Female swimmer. Okay. Broke the records. Okay.
For the same event or 6 different events?
First swimmer to win 6 world titles in the same event.
Oh, so they've 6 years in a row or whatever.
Sure, okay. Right.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I see.
That's yeah, cool. Tom Brady-esque right there.
Wow.
For true or false, here's the next one. For some strange reason, the canal water in Venice became an odd brown color. True or false?
True.
It is false.
It became blue.
But it did turn fluorescent green, not for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
But from an underwater construction chemical used to help identify leaks. So that happened in Venice. Hopefully you weren't vacationing the week that happened. Here's the next one. Scientists, back on them, invented a new kind of tree that isn't solid, but it is made completely out of liquid. this is like the fake meat or whatever it's called. Yeah, yeah.
False.
It is true.
Out of
liquid. So here's what I'm told. It's a form of microalgae big cities are using to do the climate work of 2 10-year-old trees.
Huh.
So I'm gonna have to look into that one. That's interesting to me.
That's really like semantics right there. It's doing the work of a tree.
Correct.
It's not like growing actual tree. Roots and above ground as a liquid.
Yeah,
and...
but that just leads us to the philosophical question. What even is a tree? Like, what is a tree? Who knows? if it looks like a tree, sounds like a tree, and does the work of a tree, it must be a tree? I don't know. Okay, the record for the world's largest pizza was broken in 2023 when made inside a city swimming pool. Gross.
I remember hearing something about that, I thought. So I'm going to say yes.
It's false.
Oh, man. Maybe I saw the fake news.
The record was broken, but it was made inside the LA Convention Center.
Okay.
And the pizza was 13,990 feet.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I don't know what would have been dirtier, the swimming pool or the LA Convention Center. Oh, man. Okay. A man rode every ride in the world in a chain of famous magical theme parks in less than 2 weeks.
Well, which magic, like,
yeah,
every
I'm not,
ride in
I'm
the
not
world?
Really sure. So the question, word for word,
yeah.
A man rode every ride in the world in a chain of famous magical theme parks. So I guess they're talking about Disney. So every ride in every Disney, which there's 2 in the United States. There's 1 in China, yeah. I think. There's some more around the world.
Sure. So let's just say yes to every record. I'm going to say yes.
Record. Yeah, yeah. It's true. In 12 days, he rode 216 rides at 12 parks in 4 countries on 3 continents, and it cost him $12,000 to do it.
Wow.
So a theme of 12 there. 12 days, 12 parks.
$1,000 a day.
$12,000. Oh, wow. That's crazy.
That's a lot, man.
That's a lot of money. All right. Here we go. Hot topic. Taylor Swift fans were so enthusiastic at a concert that they caused seismic activity equivalent of a 2.3 magnitude earthquake.
2.3 is not that big, I don't think. So I'm going to say yes.
It is true.
Yeah.
It is called the Swiftquake.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in Seattle for 2 nights, each time during the same song.
Okay.
I don't know what song, but apparently there's one that they really loved up in Seattle. All right. Scientists. Back on the scientists. We've got a few more to do. These are fun. Scientists found a secret ingredient of cinnamon in Leonardo da Vinci paintings. True or false?
Da Vinci was brilliant.
Yes, he was.
So I'll say true.
You'll say true.
Because he was also like medically brilliant too.
So the answer is false, but they did discover something.
That's always
this is I love the true or falses that like even if it is false, there's like still a catch that's kind of fun.
Yeah.
They discovered the use of egg yolk in his paintings.
Okay, yeah.
So
yeah.
Egg yolk.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. The picture that they have here is an egg next to the Mona Lisa. So it's kind of funny.
Does she have egg on her face?
No, it's off to the side. Next one, the Coast Guard arrested a man for trying to cross the Atlantic Ocean in a giant human-sized hamster ball-like tube.
There's no way that can be true.
People are crazy, man.
Atlantic Ocean.
It's true. It was the fourth time the Florida man got caught trying to do it, ultimately hoping to run his way more than 4,000 miles to England in one of those little hamster balls. I'm glad they're getting him because he would die otherwise. I think we've got one more. Here we go.
Sweet.
Last one. A college student caused controversy when he ate a famous piece of art involving a banana duct taped to a wall.
He ate a piece of art.
There was a banana duct taped to a wall.
A piece of art is an actual banana.
Correct.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
True. It is true. He said he was hungry, like all college students. And when he was done, he reattached the peel to its spot on the wall.
I think he was being just as artistic. Yeah.
The art had been previously valued at $120,000. So a $120,000 piece of art these days is duct tape a banana to the wall. Must have been something about that.
Yeah, so bananas are like 49 cents a pound. Yeah,
but duct tape's gone up.
So the whole piece of art cost about a quarter.
Oh,
one banana.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's great.
That was super fun.
Cool. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year. We'll hope that 2024 comes with better headlines and articles than scientists pooping out Lego heads.
Yeah.
So there we go. It's been a good one. We'll be back with another episode next week for Habits Part 3. Who do you want to become? Mm-hmm. And what do you need to start in order to get yourself there? We hope you have a great week. Grace and peace.